Chapter 28. Truth and Fairy Tales. Hilo raced to her and grabbed her arm, leading her down the hall. What happened?
He torched me. We're blown. Again.
Hilo swallowed. How did this keep happening?
With no one in the hall, they ditched the old person routine and walked as fast as they could, her traitorous feet stumbling every few seconds. Her eyes focused and unfocused.
I'm sorry, Cassandra, she said.
Was she addressing herself?
I wasn't there. I wasn't there. I'm so sorry.
She would succumb and cry, then steel herself and fight back to the surface like a swimmer fighting a sucking downward current. Simon's door was shut when they passed, and a few moments later, the sound of gurgling water greeted them as they hurried into the lobby. The receptionist held her hand to an earpiece, giving them a sideways glance.
Everything okay, you two?
Hilo slowed to a more geriatric pace.
Everything's good. Simon's working up some stuff for us. Thanks for everything.
One more dread to go. The dread guard stood on the other side of the glass, arms crossed in front of him, watching the street. He lifted his hand to his ear as Hilo pressed the door lever, and he and Cassandra scooted out behind the guard. The dread spun and pulled his gun from his holster.
Hey, he said, voice hard. You're needed back inside the building. Go in right now, or people might get hurt.
He cast a meaningful glance across the street where a few normals loitered on the sidewalk. Hilo kept going, glancing over his shoulder and tugging at Cassandra.
Come on, Cassie, we gotta move.
The dread jogged forward, put his free hand on Cassandra's back and shoved her down. She fell in a heap, lip balm and tissue scattering from her purse. Hilo spun, and the dread grabbed him by his tie.
Get inside, the dread threatened.
Hilo grabbed his wrist and squeezed, using his strength, the dread's finger bones crunching like brittle sticks, tendons and muscles curling back the pulped fingers. The dread released him and stepped back, bringing up the gun.
If that's the way you want to play, little trash angels, let's see how you like this.
He leveled the gun at Hilo's nose, but then shifted his aim to the left. The crack of the gun rang out, bullet tearing into the chest of a man walking a dog across the street. He crumpled. Pedestrians ducked and ran. Smoke rose from the barrel as the dread pulled the gun back to Hilo's face.
Wanna come in now?
The office door opened, and another dread stepped out. Trace recognized him from the parties. Elian Gutra, one of the founding partners, and a red, glowing dread. His dark hair had gone half-silver. He had left his suit coat inside, paisley tie swinging with the momentum of his stride. Gutra flared his aura. A field of desecration flowed along the concrete and enveloped them in its enervating embrace. Numbness fled. The dread fired three shots from his .45, the bullets blasting into Hilo's belly, sternum, and left shoulder. The shoulder shot spun him around in a wave of pain, and he dropped next to Cassandra. He needed her.
Cassandra!
You left, Mother,
she sobbed, her eyes screwed shut.
I was just a kid.
Elian walked casually forward as Hilo tried to rise. He had to get clear, but Cassandra was dead weight and too much to drag or carry. Elian's aura flared again and he torched them both.
Impossible.
Dred's got one bestowal. Only one.
I joined the Marines, Trace said defiantly.
His father sat at the cheap table in their cookie-cutter military home, one hand gripped a sweating glass full of a dark amber liquid, burning eyes regarding him.
Hatred. Pure hatred.
Family tradition, no, family law, stated all Evans males joined the army. His father rose and wiped a drop of liquor from his lip. His dress uniform was unbuttoned, white tank top peeking out from under the shirt.
What?
He asked. His voice a knife.
I joined the Marines. I leave in a month.
It was a petty act of rebellion. Trace had spent too many days staring at the forest of pictures of his brother Brandon. His football clipping on the fridge, his prom, his cadet photos, his officer headshot. Somewhere in that mess was a 10th-grade photo of Trace in a cheap frame. Just one outdated photo. But of course, Brandon was revered. He had joined the army like he was supposed to.
"Get out," his father said, sinking back into his seat and pushing the rest of the liquor down his throat. "You disgust me."
"I'll leave in a month," Trace said. What did his dad care? He had ignored him his entire life.
"You'll leave now, or you'll leave with my foot up your ass!"
He threw the glass. Trace flinched away and the glass crashed into the pictures above the TV, the museum of Evan's family military service spilling onto the floor. Frames cracked and glass shattered, the shards burning orange in the light of the falling sun. His dad roared. The crunch of car on concrete yanked Hilo out of his head. Corinth stood over an empty security guard uniform suffused with dirt, expended stinger in his hand. In vain, Trace tried to stand, to focus. He felt drugged.
"Get in now,"
Goldbow yelled from the rented Chevy Impala. Corinth hauled Trace up by the arm. The car was on the sidewalk, pinning Ilion Gutra to the wall at the chest.
"Come on, Hilo," Corinth prodded. "Help me out, dude."
Gutra pushed at the car, unnatural strength squealing the braked vehicles. That was the third bestowal he'd done. And the desecration was still active, two at the same time. The car inched backward. Goldbow leaned out. His BBG thundered three times, and Elion's head exploded in a shower of flesh and bone. Corinth dumped Trace in the back seat and picked Cassandra up, throwing her on top of Trace, then jumped in the front seat. Goldbow reversed into the street, tires smoking.
"Start morphing, everybody," Goldbow warned. "We've got maybe 2 minutes before the police show up."
I don't think these two are going to morph anytime soon," Corinth said. "They're messed up, like bad."
"Then we hide them and get them later," Goldbow said. "We've got to ditch this car, now."
Trace barely registered the push and pull of gravity as Goldbow turned hard around a series of corners.
"There," Corinth said. "Cassie's gonna kill me for this."
The car braked hard, throwing Trace and Cassandra into the back panel of the front seat. With an apology, and not a lot of finesse, Corinth and Goldbow pulled them out of the car and tossed Trace in a reeking dumpster behind a red brick apartment building. He was dimly aware of Cassandra landing beside him. Darkness fell when Goldbow closed the lid. Freedom from the desecration took away the bodily pain, but Trace wandered in and out of lucidity. The power of the torching ebbed as he fought its dark gravity, grasping at his new identity and the new life that put a wall between him and his father, him and his wife. Details slowly came into focus. Toxic diapers. Squishy, sweating bags. Pizza boxes. The sour ferment of discarded beer bottles. A single sheet of light slipping through the gap in the heavy plastic lids sliced down Cassandra's rumpled blouse and skirt.
"Well, that sucked," she groaned, squirming to get her hair out of a lump of wet spaghetti noodles.
Hilo peeled a black banana off his shirt.
"Sucked doesn't cover it."
"What happened in Simon's office?"
"I was getting a present for you. It's still in the car in my purse. Those morons better get it."
"A present?"
"Yeah. I was in there answering all the questions while Simon filled out some form. He picked up a call and said, 'What can I do for you, Mr. Gutra?' After a couple of sideways glances and ahas, he hung up, looked at me, and said, 'You two have to be the most convincing Gabriels I have ever seen.' I knew it was over, but before I could think, he torched me and came around the table to do who knows what. I recovered enough to blast him back. He collapsed and went nearly catatonic. I was pretty wobbly, but I grabbed his letter opener and went after his heart. I dumped it in my grandma purse and went to get you."
"Are you joking? You have his heart?"
"Had. It's in my purse in the car. If they leave the car and are stupid enough to forget it, I'll kick one of them so hard they'll need to look for themselves in the next state over. Corinth is usually pretty good at the details, though, so keep your fingers crossed."
"I owe you," Hilo said.
"You don't. I would have done it even if he hadn't been the creep who seduced your wife."
She shifted around in garbage that seemed to suck her in the more she fought it.
Ugh, I don't think I've ever been torched that hard before. That was off the charts. I feel like I've just run a marathon through hell.
Hilo exhaled, trying to let the rest of the torching horror go. Even the thrall's torch wasn't that bad. I feel as old as I look.
About that, Mr. Hilo. Your old man persona is probably the best one I've seen you do.
Thanks, he said. I used to spend time with my crazy grandpa during the summers. He was a whacked old army sergeant. Whatever he thought, he just said it.
Yeah, well, keep that morph in your list of decent ones. Probably your only decent one at this point.
So when do you think it's safe to get out of here?
Not for a while, depending on how bad they want us. If Goldbo and Corinth got away, we'll be in good shape, because the Dreads will assume we were with them. But if they got caught, they'll know we're out here somewhere, and we'll be searching the nooks and crannies.
Hilo folded his arms to keep his fingers out of something gooey.
I guess we should be thankful we don't have to smell and it isn't July.
Is there any way to beat the torching for good?
The longer you're an Ash Angel, the easier it gets, she explained. The sting of past events can fade with time. You did well with this one. But remember, some events are so strong they can stick with you forever. Do stick with you forever. Great need can help you shake it off sometimes. But just like we can dump more power into a bestowal, so can they. Simon didn't blast me too hard, but Gutra really unloaded on us.
Hilo chanced the question.
So who was Cassandra?
Cassandra kept her eyes on the dumpster lid as if weighing what to say or if to say anything at all.
Cassandra was my sister. She killed herself. I was a self-centered idiot teenager, and I didn't see her pain. Looking back, I just... Well, it was my fault. My mom left us, and I should have been there. I should have.
Cassandra's voice cracked, a tear shining briefly as it traversed the sliver of light on her aged face.
This is a bad time, Hilo. It's too close. I can't face it. I can still see the blood.
I'm sorry, Hilo said, taking her wrinkled hand and holding it tightly. I saw a fight I had with my dad this time. I really pissed him off by going into the Marines instead of the Army. He never forgave me for that. Never. He always loved my brother more, and after that I might as well have ceased to exist. He started talking to me when I got married, but it was always like he was talking to some soldier he barely knew. Can't all this just go away?
Believe me, if I could have figured out how to do that, I would have.
The lid opening surprised them both. A middle-aged woman with curly hair peered down at them and screamed.
We're alive! We're alive! Hilo said. Just a couple of harmless, well-to-do old folks in the dumpster. We'll get out in a minute. Leave your garbage bag on the ground and we'll get it.
The woman bolted and Cassandra exhaled.
Well, we have to get out because I'm guessing the police is a next call, and they are probably all over the place after that disaster. I was just getting comfortable, too.
They hauled themselves over the side, garbage sliding off them as they stood upright in the late morning sunshine. Moments later, Corinth and Goldbo pulled up in a silver crew cab truck, both morphed into bloated middle-aged men. Goldbo signaled them in front from the driver's seat.
The truck's on. The guy who owns it just went into a restaurant, so we've got about 20 minutes before he makes a call.
I did the hot wiring in like 10 seconds, Corinth bragged as Hilo and Cassandra clambered in the back.
You want a gold star, chumpkins? Cassandra said, voice weak.
Goldbo pulled away.
You okay, Cassie? Goldbo asked, face troubled.
I'll survive, she replied. Thanks. Thanks for bailing us out, both of you.
I'm glad I could be there this time, Goldbo said, throwing Cassandra a meaningful look. They're sending a chopper for us. Did you guys get anything?
No,
Cassandra answered, frustrated.
Yes, I did, Hilo corrected her.
In that office I found you in?
As Hilo explained what had happened with Teresa, Cassandra's mouth gaped open,
You got another bestowal? She exclaimed. That's unheard of. What is up with you?
Hilo shrugged. Like I know. So where is the helicopter going to take us?
Back to the operations center where we started, Goldbo said. We're going to get ripped for this one.
Why? Hilo asked.
Goldbo ran his hand through his hair.
That civilian the Dread shot. He's dead. Even if he weren't dead, this would be ugly. First rule of any mission is that the normals don't get hurt. That is top priority. You think you filled out forms? Just wait.
What did we do wrong? Hilo asked, a hole forming in his stomach.
Dude, Corinth jumped in. We didn't do anything wrong, but they'll find something to pin on us. When normals die, somebody gets shafted.
We'll worry about that later, Cassandra said. Did you get my purse out of the other car?
Yes, ma'am.
Corinth reached down at his feet and handed it back to her. She dug inside and produced Simon's heart, plopping it in Hilo's lap.
Merry Christmas.
Nice, Corinth exclaimed. Who got robbed?
Mr. Simon Powell, Cassandra reported proudly. The guy who seduced Hilo's wife.
He was a dread, Goldbo exclaimed.
As red as they come, Cassandra replied. Time to have ourselves a little burn party. He got a stinger.
Corinth produced one from a duffel bag on the console and handed it back to Hilo.
Roll down the windows and blast the air conditioner, he warned.
Hilo took the oversized syringe and smiled. Clearing a space between his feet, he put the heart on the floor.
Go to hell, Simon Powell.
The needle dimpled the tissue and then slid into the heart. Trace pushed the plunger down. A flash and a pop fried the heart and a good portion of the floor before he stamped it out. The smoke of burning flesh and car carpet coursed out the windows into the wind. Corinth let out a whoop, and Hilo sat back. Satisfaction.
And now Simon is a pile of dirt in a suit, Corinth said.
Now Teresa is safe, Hilo added.
Cassandra patted his head. A sadness in her eyes Hilo didn't understand.
I told you not to send Hilo on this op, Six Wing argued. Trace envied his control. Corinth had predicted someone would get the shaft. Sixwing got the shaft. He had every right to rant and swear up a hurricane, but he didn't. The entire Archai had conferenced in for the debrief when the mission was reported successful, but the information they retrieved from Gutra and Hudgens was sent to the Skolas before they had even returned to the Midwest Operations Center. Calling the meeting a debrief was a joke. It was a drumhead trial.
Hilo did not have the experience he needed to prevent this, Sixwing continued, which is one of the reasons I wanted him off the mission, but was overridden by Arcus Magdalene. He should have rushed the Dread to keep him from firing at the normal. An experienced agent would have prevented this. Corinth, not Hilo, should have handled the insertion with Cassandra.
Wrong, Arcus Simeon of the Sanctus piped in, jowled face shaking. Hilo's personal connection to the place and to Teresa are what made this mission successful. His reception of a second bestowal, the second in 2 months, is ample proof. It is strange to me that for a group of people who call themselves angels, you can't seem to see that divine providence is at work here. Hilo was a godsend to this mission.
Save it for the Sunday services, Simeon, Ebenezer interjected. I'm sure divine providence would have provided an answer regardless of who Six Wings sent. It should have been an experienced Gabriel, not one who hasn't had 3 months of training. An innocent man has paid the price.
Exactly, Six Wing concurred.
Cassandra stood.
Oh, will you all please shut up and quit dancing around the issue?
You are out of line, Ebenezer growled.
And you are deflecting this conference from the real issue, Cassandra retorted. The problem wasn't Hilo, who in my professional opinion did his best work on this op. The problem was that someone called Elian Gutra and told him Mr. and Mrs. Honeycutt were a couple of ash angels. Or maybe someone is eavesdropping on our communications, or whatever. If you don't fix this, a whole bunch more missions are going to go south like this, and more ash angels and normals are going to get killed. Quit blaming the agents out there on the line for these failures.
Yes, Ebenezer said testily. And why don't we address why it seems all your missions get blown?
Oh,
and I suppose you're suggesting I blow my own missions so, what, I can put myself and my team in danger? Get my butt torched for fun? Pull your head out, Ebenezer. You're like the husband who blames his wife for his infidelity. My team is not the one screwing things up here.
Are you sure? Ebenezer said, tone condescending. How about Hilo's fairy tales to go along with the magic man who can control dreads? Should we waste time on that?
The Grand Arcus piped in.
It's more likely that there were other dreads involved Hilo didn't see. We should table the dread issue for now.
I don't think we can, Arcus Ebenezer pushed. Hilo's credibility is compromised by these wild tales that go against centuries of research and experience.
What possible reason do I have to lie about this, Arcus Ebenezer? Hilo asked.
Notoriety, pure and simple.
Hilo set his jaw, trying to contain the anger. He would not be called a liar.
I saw it. Two, probably three bestowals.
No one else did.
Cassandra was torched and Goldbo and Corinth hadn't arrived, Ebenezer said.
I will not believe the assertions of a rookie who cost a normal his life.
Grand Arcus Gideon slammed his hand down on his desk, the sound booming over the speakers.
I am not convinced that any other team would have done any better or worse in this situation, and these accusations will stop now.
There is one thing we know without a doubt. We have a leak in the system.
From this time forward, we will dedicate our full resources to finding it, from technological possibilities to personnel issues. I know it's distasteful, but I am ordering the Sanctus to test every blank to show proof of an Ash Angel-only bestowal or multiple bestowals. Those who can't do so must be put outside the loop for now.
A stunned silence fell on the room. Hilo glanced at Cassandra, who slumped in her chair, face set in a stony frown.
Now, the Grand Arcus continued. Arcus Ebenezer, I need you to bend your research and accounting resources to Quinn Maritime. I need your techs to do a top-to-bottom review of our communication protocols and security. We need answers now. Sixwing will step down from his position as the head of Midwest Operations while this mission is reviewed. Bethel will take his place in the interim. For the time being, Cassandra's team will do Ash Angel outreach until they are cleared by Gabriel Operations. This meeting is adjourned.